Spectacular Diagnostics. Hello and welcome to the 2026 preview show. It's the first one of the year. It's of course the Aussie Road Race, which means I can only have one person on. The amazing Mr. Chris Harper. Chris, how are we?
Very good, thanks. Thank you very much for having me again.
Feels like we've been doing this for about...
How many years have we done this?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Feels like we've been doing this for about 40 years now.
Yeah.
So last year, the race moved to Perth. And the route is obviously really different compared to what it was previously. So we'll have a little look through the route again. We'll focus in on the key sections. You can talk us through anything that you think is important. And what I'll do is I've got my Vela viewer up, so I'll just jump in and focus on one lap so the numbers can disappear. Right, so from the beginning, you head straight into this sort of park area. What's that section of the race like?
It's normally pretty aggressive. I think, when you look at this profile, it looks obviously a bit more up and down. But when you look at it on a different profile. I remember when we first moved it to Perth and I was like, oh, you know, this is just going to be a race for a sprinter. Like it's just going to be quite straightforward. But then when we actually came out and did the course, it's like, oh, it's pretty grippy. It's always up and down on this circuit through Kings Park. There's lots of opportunity for people to attack. And then also as you get further into the park, you know, there's a couple pretty grippy sections, especially if someone's got legs and they sort of go and keep it hard for a while. It's actually, you know, deceptively hard, I'd say.
So the
it might only be a couple percent, but it's, I think this section here, as we go up towards the right-hand turn, it can be quite deceptive. And it at least last year anyway, this section sort of caused a lot of splits and, you know, maybe it would come back through this next bit of the course, which is sort of a fast downhill to the river. But yeah, normally this bit was quite decisive last year.
And then once you exit the park, you get out onto the section beside the river. As you said, this is a chance for things to come back, and then you kind of hit the main sort of the main city centre of Perth, and then you come to the sort of the main climb on the route. There is that one in the park that you mentioned, but this is the one where a lot of the focus was last year.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think you said it there. You look at the profile, and I think we did it last year. Most people assumed it's not that hard, and then last year it was really quite attritional, and way harder than what people thought.
Yeah.
And this little climb, I think it's officially like 700 meters at 5-point-something%. It's actually much harder than it looks.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a lot harder, and even you know this section, once someone sort of keeps at full gas from pretty much once it starts to kick up right till the top, you know, you definitely get some splits towards the top, and then even once you turn left towards the finish line, you don't really get any rest, because if it's already starting to split, you might be making wheels up. And yeah, this whole section of the course until you sort of turn right and hit a bit of a dip, it's actually quite solid.
Because that bit there, near the end of the climb, it's 9%, so it's definitely tough.
Yeah, it's hard enough.
I remember watching it, because it's one of those ones, the camera's at the top and you really see the lift. You see the elevation gain on the TV screen. And last year, the race was really pretty hard last year. I think the main Peloton group was, what, maybe about 10 guys or something?
Yeah, for sure. I think, last year it was definitely, like you said, it's definitely... You know, same idea as Buninyong almost. It's just a nutritional race. Obviously, it's not a big hard climb. Well, sorry, big's relative, but you know, a longer sort of climb. As you said, it's only 700 meters, but doing that every time, and just the fact that the rest of the course, I think, is quite undulating and lots of opportunity for people to attack. Just lap after lap, everyone's getting more and more fatigued. Then you add in a bit of Aussie summer and everyone starts cooking in 30 degrees. So yeah, it's definitely hard enough. It's not the easy race like we all thought when we first came to Perth.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I was going to mention. Tomorrow is meant to be 36 degrees. Now
Okay.
that is absolutely roasting hot, roasting hot. And that's surely going to have a big impact.
Yeah, 100%. I think that'll also be another key factor is it's super hot. And for us, I think we start the race at 2:50 p.m. So I think our predicted finish is 7 p.m., which, some people might be like, oh, it should be starting to cool down as you get into the last bit. But I mean, from being in Perth and even pretty similar in Adelaide, like 5, 6 p.m. can still be scorching hot. I don't think the temperature's going to drop too much throughout the race. So yeah, when you think it's 4 hours in heat like that, it's definitely very fatiguing.
And there's not much wind either. I think it's about 10K per hour, so I don't think that's going to have much of an impact. It's not going to help
Nah.
cool anybody down either.
No, definitely not. I
So
mean, yeah, through the back bit of the course, you're a bit more sheltered. It's not till you get down into the water you feel it a bit, but yeah, it's definitely not going to cool anyone down. If anything, it's probably going to be a warm breeze.
last year you were about Jayco, obviously, and you guys nailed it perfectly. You got Durbridge in the break. It was a two-up break. He eventually dropped, I think it was Conor Leahy who was with. Getting an organised chase in the peloton was almost impossible because nobody really had teammates. And then I think Simon Clarke ended up doing quite a lot. You guys were covering moves. Eventually, Plapp looks over his shoulder. There's nobody near him. He goes, gets across to Durbridge. Game over. So from a team point of view last year, I'm sure it was almost perfect for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, once we had Durbo in the front, we were already happy. That was, one of our guys that we were happy to have in that first move. And also, we knew Connor as well. We knew Connor's a strong rider. So to have someone like that with Durbo, they can make it a long way. So we definitely backed that. And like you said, it took a while, before that it was just people attacking, trying to get away. And, there were quite obviously some other guys there that were super strong and had really good legs, like Jay Vine, Jai Hindley. They were going super well, but it's hard when you've got us Jayco boys just sitting on the back of you every time when you try to make a move. And eventually, like you said, Simon Clarke did a fair brunt of the work. And I think another team came and helped him. I can't remember who, but they were starting to bring the gap back a little bit. And probably not many other people knew except for us, but I think Durbo was starting to hurt, so we weren't as confident anymore. And probably the only thing in hindsight that sort of went in our favour was I think Jai, he attacked 1 lap before Plappy went on the climb, and that sort of blew the chase up a little bit too early, in my opinion. And yeah, after that it was a bit messy again. No one wanted to ride. I think Durbo started to extend the gap again, and then just because everyone was looking at each other, Plappy went on the next lap on the climb, and no one could follow him, and that was it. So, yeah, there are other strong guys, but as I said, it's not easy when you've got other strong guys just able to sit in the wheels and not do anything.
And now the boot will be on the other foot again this year because you are no longer with Jacob. So it's back to almost like your bridge lane days when you're having to go in against, well, this year they've got six. So it's not, I mean, I remember years back they would rock up with like 10 plus guys and it's just about impossible to beat them. But with six riders, it is possible. And the Cash team have got, I think they've got eight or nine. Team Brennan have got six as well. And then we're really stepping down to guys like yourself. So you arrive with the housing. So there's two of you. I think Brady Gilmore's got a teammate. He's got Zach Marriage. And then the other World Tour riders are all solos. So from a tactical point of view, have you had a little think about how you're going to approach it?
I mean, I think it'll be the same idea for everyone in the position of Damo and I. Yeah, obviously I'm fortunate to have a strong teammate in Damo. And I'm sure the first bit of the race, first couple of laps of the race are going to be aggressive. A lot of guys are going to want to try and get themselves up the road because they'll won't back themselves against some of the stronger boys in the last hour. So I think, yeah, it's probably up to us to try and make sure one of us is in everything or covering the dangerous stuff, so we don't have to, we don't get caught out like Israel were last year, and one of us has to do a Simon Clark and tow the peloton for a couple of laps. That's sort of the scenario we're avoiding. But yeah, I think the hard thing is it can be a bit of a gamble. You can follow the right guy and you can think that's the move, and then half a lap later it comes back and the next move goes, and then all of a sudden no one wants to do anything, and that's sort of gone. So it is a bit of a gamble, but yeah, we'll try our best to sort of be amongst that. And I guess the other thing is, like you said, there's a lot of other world tour riders in our position that are super strong as well, and the course suits very well. So yeah, it's while Jayco are definitely the favorites, they've also got all the pressure and they've got a lot of riders to cover as well.
Yeah, and I would imagine they would look at it and think, so we'll have Durbridge and Kel O'Brien as our two attackers early, and then we'll save Platt for later on, and Ben O'Connor's obviously here as well. So I would imagine they'll be safe, but then Platt had a bit of a disaster in the time trial. So I mean, did you hear anything about that? Like, because I've
No, not
heard.
really. I only got to Perth a couple of hours before the crit last night, so I'm a bit out of the loop. But yeah, I'm not sure whether he just had a bad day or something. But yeah, I mean, obviously he's won nationals three times before, and then when he rocks up and he finishes 8th place, everyone's a bit confused what happened. But yeah, I guarantee you Plappy he'll be firing tomorrow. I don't think it'll be a question of form. It might have just been a bad day, and he'll definitely be one of the strongest guys tomorrow.
Because the route is absolutely perfect for him, like the
Yeah,
punchy-less
100%.
climb. Whereas
Yeah.
you're more like a longer climber. Vine obviously as a mountains guy as well.
Yeah.
It's just so good for Plapp and coming with a strong team. If he's on form, if he's good, he's such a hard guy to beat.
Yeah, like you said, he's super hard, especially if you can take away, all that wasting energy following moves early on in the race that other, myself, Jay, and all that are going to have to do, Damo, Welsford, and that. You take away all those little accelerations for the first hour of the race, then you go into the last hour of the race slightly fresher. And when you're already one of the best guys at punching over these 2 minute climbs, then he's a very hard guy to beat. So yeah, I saw the time trial and I didn't read too much into it. I know Plappy's always on form in January, so I'm sure he'll be one of the strongest tomorrow, and he'll be one of their protected riders. So yeah, if he's even pulling faces looking like he's struggling, I don't think he is.
And the other one I've got my eye on is Brady Gilmer. So he went
Yeah.
well last year, and I think he was fourth, and then he went on to have a really good season for Israel, and now he's stepping up again this year. Punchy rider, fast sprint. Nobody really would want to take him to the line.
No, I don't think so. I mean, from what I don't know Brady super well, but from what I've heard from a lot of the Perth guys that know him, again, what he can do over a 2 minute effort's pretty unreal. So again, looking at the course, I'd say, he's another big favorite, and he does have the benefit of as well of having a teammate in the race, Zach Marriage. But again, if he gets caught out, if they get caught out, and he has to spend too much energy, it can just be something as simple as he misses a move, has to spend too much energy, and then someone goes over the top of him. But yeah, on paper, I think he's definitely a guy to watch. And even last year, I mean, a few of the sort of bigger, I shouldn't say bigger, that's a bit rude, but the more
More
sprinter type
well-known.
guys like
Oh,
Blake
yeah.
Quick and Blake Agnoletto, they got around quite well, and they might have blown up a little bit in the last lap, but it wasn't like they were out of the race. So It's not like Bunning Young where it's sort of so attritional and, the climbers sort of more come towards the front. I think it's a real mixture of people just being strong and being able to race still after a really hard 3 hours. So yeah, I guess it's balanced it out a little bit, but yeah, you've still got six guys from Jayco controlling the race.
Even Welsford last year looked pretty good, and then he crashed, unfortunately, pretty
Yeah.
nasty.
Unfortunately, he crashed. But him and Jai. I think if Welsford hadn't crashed and you still had had two guys in the race, maybe you hit a point where instead of Jai having to move the lap that he did, maybe Welsford says, "I'm going to do a burner for a lap, bring Durbo back," and then all of a sudden the race is completely different. The pressure's back on Jayco, and yeah, it looks a lot different than it did.
My crystal ball is telling me that with 36 degrees, the brake isn't winning. To be out there in front all day in that heat, I think that's superhuman effort.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bold statement. I'm saying the brake will not win. It's going to come from the peloton. But that brake formation bit is so important. If the three teams with the most riders all get a rider up the road, then who's chasing? You
Yeah,
guys,
for sure.
Zach Marriage is going to. It's just so hard. But then in previous races, even at Bunny Young, Jayco would sometimes keep the front group close, even though it kind of looked like you're chasing your own guy. But that, I suppose, it's just in case. And as you said last year, Durbridge then did start to suffer. So
Yeah.
keeping it close is also a clever thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely going to be a hard effort in the heat. But yeah, like you said, if you get the wrong combination in that first break, then everyone's looking at each other. So yeah, it's a tricky one to get right. It's probably the most frustrating race I do all year. So
And
I mean, it hasn't been frustrating for the last couple of years, but yeah,
well,
I'm sure this time tomorrow I'll be quite frustrated.
so you've had a couple of second places, you've had a third place,
Yeah.
you and Plappe went two up, and he took, well, he got the win. I don't know which way around it kind of works. So you've been close. You've been close as
Yeah.
a guy riding for a smaller team. You've been close riding for Jayco. Does
Yeah.
it feel like you're just never going to win it?
I wouldn't say that. I think, it's very hard for me to win nationals. It's not like it's ever going to be a course that suits me great, but I think the thing that does suit me is normally it is a very hard attritional day. And normally in that sort of race, if I can get through the first bit of all the guys who are fresh and can do these unreal 2 minute efforts that I can't do, if I can get through to that and they start to be blunted a bit in the last hour of the race, then normally I think I can I can come better and show something. But yeah, it's I'd say there's an element of luck in nationals, being in the right place. But yeah, I think if you rock up and you're in good shape and you don't race too stupidly, yeah, you'll be around the mark.
And looking back at last year, Giro stage win. I mean, unreal, unbelievable. Penultimate stage. Let's just call it the Queen stage as well. Let's just add that in as well. What I mean, that was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that was highlight of the year from, well, highlight of my career, I guess. But yeah, frustrating at the same time. I mean, it sort of didn't have the season I would have liked to last year outside of winning that stage of the Giro. But yeah, I'm motivated now, moving teams as well. I'm motivated to get back into it, and it's a good start here to test the shape before going and starting at Tour Down Under. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm motivated, and yeah, training's been going well, so hope I'm on the upward trajectory again.
And you're riding TDU with the national team, is that right?
Yeah, Damon and I yeah, lucky enough we're both got the opportunity to race Down Under with the national team. So yeah, it's always pretty nice to be able to start the season in Adelaide, where I grew up. So yeah, it'll be good.
And then Cadell's race afterwards?
Yeah, I'll do Cadells as well, and then make my way back to Europe from there and race a bit on the way. Oman and UAE, I think, is the plan.
Good, and you did pretty well in Oman last year, top 10, but is that when you started to feel, was it, you started to feel your injury a little bit? Was that
Yeah, I mean,
Oman?
I first got the symptoms of my injury December last year, so just before we came to nationals. I already knew I had a bit of an issue, and it was quite a complex injury, which, we'd do something which we thought would resolve it, and then a month later there was no improvement. So I did most of the season last year with this injury, and had surgery in October last year to hopefully fix it. And so far everything's going well. Obviously, with the injury being 10 months, I think it's also the rehab's been, some days great, and I feel like everything's perfect. And then other days it's a little question mark, but in general, I'm feeling like what we did has resolved the issue, and now it's just my job to make sure I do all the rehab job properly and make sure I can come back strong.
Was it your knee?
No. Someone told me they heard I've got a dodgy knee, but no, it was one of the nerves that goes through your hip, down your quad. So it was, I don't know how to explain it properly, but basically I had a carpal tunnel syndrome over that nerve. So I sort of just would get sensations of my leg being on fire and filling up with fluid, and it was a weird injury and definitely very hard to diagnose, but yeah, I think we found the problem and fixed it. So hopefully now everything's going good.
Your move to Q36.5 maybe surprised a few people. An Aussie leaving the Aussie team. How did it come around?
I mean, I just like contract negotiations go normally. I think last year in particular was obviously a tricky year for everyone. A lot of people very unsure about what they were doing. But yeah, I had spoken a little bit about staying at Jayco as well as what my other options were, and then yeah, one of those things where you just speak to a team and it feels like a place where, they're pushing very hard to become one of the best teams in the world. Obviously, the team isn't world tour at the moment, but that's the goal. And just my personality, I think that suits me as well. A team that's looking at all the little things that they can do to make all the riders on the team as good as they possibly can. And yeah, I mean, that's probably what I got when I first turned professional with Visma, was a team that was sort of like top of the food chain, doing everything as good as they could. And I just felt like coming to Q36 was going to be a similar sort of experience. So I think that's sort of what poked my interest at moving teams. And yeah, from there I just moved across and really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, they're definitely a team in the up, and I see you'll probably miss it, but they're going to Chile for their altitude camp,
Yeah,
if I
yeah.
read.
Yeah, I saw Fred before I left Europe, and he's like, "Oh, are you going to Chile?" I was like, "No, I'm going to Australia, but yeah, maybe I should have gone to Chile. It sounds fun as well."
Yeah, good. And I mean, I don't want to put any extra pressure on you, but you are in my cycling fantasy team this year, so
Okay.
I mean, no pressure, but
I'll
I'm expecting results, you know?
see what I can do.
Right, Chris, put your money where your mouth is. Apart from yourself, who wins tomorrow?
I could probably pick about seven riders who can win. I think it's so
Pick
hard to
one.
pick,
Pick
but
one. Go on.
I'd say I think Ben O'Connor's going to be quite dangerous.
So I'm going Gilmore. I'm going to
Yeah.
go that Jayco are not going to quite control it as well as previously. There's a few
Yeah.
question marks about Clark.
Yeah.
Let's go
Yeah,
Brady
you could be
Gilmore.
right. Yeah. I mean, it'll make for an exciting race. So Yeah, it should be good.
Looking forward. And the best thing about it in Perth is that because of the time difference, it actually starts at like 7 o'clock in the morning here.
Yeah, I was going to say,
So
you guys are a bit close to me, aren't you?
so it's much better. So I can set my alarm nice and
Yeah.
early, up, watch the race, and I don't have to stay up during the night.
Yeah, nice.
Right,
Perfect.
Chris. Well, thank you very much once again for doing the preview. Hopefully tomorrow's your day.
Thank you very much.
And you can
Thanks
get
again
the
for having
green
me.
goal done. Right, cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, mate.
Say accumulate pace, first raise a blade for the gate, we're moving weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might lead your mind strain. The times change, flight delayed like haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the crowd, the rent park is way park waves. Like moves on, move raw. Involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fallatio from lazy do fall to Paul Kane. But brought a broad brain with it all game. You snow change, you do like a solid grand product 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mac Daddy. Oh, yeah. I feel like. Pinship and fossilize the amber. Wise commander, fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like a standard. Feathers and quillers, I bite the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Into the Yoda Palace, it's a pagoda. So blowing haze in circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their barrio. Drama with Disco King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the peel off without watching his body fall. Pony ass with the mighty gone. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone, skull and bone, herringbone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud endo, chop the rock 16-bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. Well, now your daddy kicking at, you know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff live out the district, shit, my nigga. Word. Woo!